What is up, Ramblin' Raiders listeners? Welcome back to the podcast. It is always a pleasure when you join us. We have a great episode in store for you tonight. But before we get started, I'd like to give a shout out to this episode's sponsor. Today's episode is sponsored by our boy Shane Bergeson with Stanfield Properties. For anyone who is in the greater Houston area and maybe looking for the ultimate Christmas gift this year, which is, you know, finding the right home for you and the missus, or you and the mister and all the kids, if you need help finding the right home to fit your needs, our boy Shane Bergeson is the best realtor Houston has to offer. He has made a name for himself as the go-to guy for residential properties and has helped countless, and I do mean countless, residents from Friendswood, Pearland, Shenandoah, Conroe, Galveston, and League City. Just a mouthful of places where he is active in helping out his clientele. He's helped them find the right homes, guys, to suit their living situations. Whether you are looking to upgrade, downsize, relocate, or your forever home, Shane Bergeson will find the perfect match for you. I guarantee it. I know Shane personally, as we have grown up together and remain close over the years. I cannot think of anyone I would rather recommend than Shane when it comes to customer service and having a hard work ethic and a great attitude. I know when I decide to find my first home, I will be using Shane as my realtor. Reach out to Shane on his direct line at 832-206-4495. Again, 832-206-4495. Or you can email him at Shane, S-H-A-N-E, at StanfieldProperties.com. Stanfield Properties, StanfieldProperties. Boom. We at Ramblin' Raiders are proud to partner with Shane Bergeson. Tell him that the Ramblin' Raiders sent you and receive a whopping 1% discount when buying or selling your next home. Guys, in this market, that is a huge discount, and you know you're going to want to take advantage of that. Don't miss out on this opportunity to work with an amazing realtor and get the home of your dreams. And now, my brother, in arms and in sadness, let's get on with the show. Wow, 2 weeks in a row, dude. 2 weeks in a row. I know you weren't here for the last one, but maybe this will be our new little tradition here. Get a jingle. It is jingle bell season. I'm going to take a sip for y'all. Strong one tonight. That's a good cup, Dale. What is up, Ramblin' Raiders listeners? Welcome back again. Thank you for joining us for this premium Texas Tech content with a laugh. Joining me tonight is my brother from the same mother, and one of y'all's, you know, the hot take specialist you know and love, and one of your favorite co-hosts for this pod, Lane. One more episode won't hurt, Griffon. Lane, what's up, man?
What is up, Ramblin' Raider Nation? Glad to be back on the pod after
I like that
taking a break.
Yeah, Ramblin' Raider Nation.
Yeah, that's right.
Love it.
Glad to be back. I guess that week I missed, we became gin drinkers only, no more beer, huh?
You know, it's for everything that goes into preparation on this podcast, getting all the equipment set up and everything, we've forgotten the most key element these last 2 weeks, and that is the signature beer pop.
That's a Ramblin' Raider staple.
That is a staple, and we promise that we'll bring it back, but have no fear, we're still drinking away our sorrows. Tough weekend, dude. Tough weekend. Fun weekend for the Ramblin' Raiders, guys. We had a great time in the DFW area, but as far as wins and losses go,
same old story.
Same old song and dance. Tough sledding, to say the least. I got to say,
Before you have a heart attack?
Before I have a heart attack from, anytime I take a sip of gin, it's like my body doesn't want me podcasting, man. It just wants me to go chill out. To everyone, or I want to say this before we dive right into it on this episode. To everyone who had voted for me and said I had a better flow than Yost and Gundy, y'all are some real ones. You're also, you know, more intelligent than your average neighbor, than your average, citizen. And you guys, like I said, I commend you just on not only your intelligence, but your savvy, your style. Thank you for voting.
Now, was that on Instagram or Twitter poll?
Oh, it was Twitter and Instagram, and both overwhelming support for Jack, the chef's lox.
I don't remember seeing that on Instagram. It tells you what I remember from this weekend.
Oh,
yeah. We had a good time.
Yeah, instead of one more episode won't hurt because we were watching the Queen's Gambit last night, I was going to do one more Irish car bomb won't hurt for Lane because we were going in deep on him, man, trying to will the boys back into those
games.
That
was the magic we had in Minnesota, and it didn't work.
Magic no more, dude. But anyways, guys, if you haven't already, we'll run through our intro. Social media, you know, it goes a long way. If y'all rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Pod, let us know how we're doing, what you like, maybe what you don't like. You know, but if you enjoy this content, go ahead and throw us that 5-star rating and leave a quick review. Tell your friends, tell your family. Again, it helps us grow and means a lot to us and the work that we put into this thing. Also, we're on Twitter at Ramblin' Raiders. Go check us out and follow us there. We're also on Facebook. Our page on Facebook is Ramblin' Raiders Podcast. And then last but not least, probably my favorite of the three, although Twitter's, you know, coming in a close second these days, our Instagram is at Ramblin' Raiders. We're very good about engagement and keeping our listeners up to date on everything that's going on with the podcast, so be sure to follow us there. Also, our website, guys, it's Ramblin' Raiders. Remember, that's no G, Ramblin' Raiders. I feel like that rap song was like...
Good spelling. I don't know if I would have been able to rattle out
E-S-P-E-C-T. I mean, I'm like just into it. But RamblinRaiders.com, man, it's that Alpha brand. I'm telling
you. You mean that respect song, like R-E-S-P-E-C-T?
That one, too. The rap and the song, dude. I feel like the girl in the Queen's Gambit, Beth, just whenever she takes those green pills and starts like seeing the
tranquility,
the tranquility pill. But I mean, Red River Nation needs some tranquility pills floating around.
I'm still not sure like what those are in that show.
Whatever it is, all I know is it apparently makes you a damn good chess player because she's seeing all the moves on the ceiling. That's me when I look at our outline; just letters are popping up at me, left and right. But yeah, check out our website, guys. We have our write ups on there. Our episodes are actually downloadable straight from the site if you would like to listen there. We also have a sweet merch line. You can go get Hot Takes with Laney Cake shirt.
Great shirt.
Awesome shirt. Great portrait on the back. Very, very accurate depiction of y'all's favorite Hot Takes guy, Lane.
We should have got a picture of those locks.
We should.
I had back
those,
in the day.
Now, those were some impressive locks. I think you would have gotten a good reception to that as well. But also remember, guys, for merch sales, if you're looking to, you know, expand your horizons and your variety as far as your Christmas gifts go this year, why not a Ramblin' Raiders hoodie or a Ramblin' Raiders shirt? Lane's sporting one right now. It looks good. We will start throwing out some discounts. We'll get Nick on that, who couldn't be with us tonight. Man, I think this weekend broke him, dude. I think he has perma scaries from Tech going down and just couldn't rally, man. I hope he gets some.
Poor guy. I don't know if he made it to work on Monday.
I don't know, dude. I think he needs some much, or he's going to have some much needed R&R and hopefully he recovers, but.
Maybe some Alpha Brain.
Flicked out on us, man. I think, like I said, the loss of against U of H and OSU might have just been too much, dude.
What could have done it is the car bombs.
And the car bombs will also put you down, but if there's one thing we know, the life of a Tech fan, you got to be ready, dude, for everything. Because times are tough, and dude, they might be getting tougher. We don't know. That's why we drink a lot.
And we produce this podcast.
And, you know, Lane and I like to get on here and just talk about the bad times as much as we do the good times. 10% of merch, guys, is what I was getting at. 10% of merch sales goes to charity. We did the Wounded Warrior Project last month. This month, we'll probably try to do something Christmas-related. You know, I know there's a couple kind of, they say they're scammers out there, so we'll try to find an authentic, you know, charity that's all about giving to kids in need who need presents during Christmas time. We'll find a good one for you and have that in store next week. But go check out our website, Lane. Tell them about Laney's Locks show presented by Ramblin' Raiders Media.
Yeah, if you're looking for another podcast, maybe a little more general, maybe you like betting on sports, come listen to us on Laney's Locks. Me and the chef are cooking up bets. It's a quick podcast. We like to keep it 15, 20 minutes. We give you all the best bets for the week for college sports. We throw in some professional. We have international sports. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And my advice over these last 2 weeks is fade me heavily because I think I'm cursed right now.
The poor chef was hot, and he went cold fast.
Very fast. I think the curse of the pirate somehow has found its way just over to my betting abilities and skills. Dude, wait. Oh, God. Now I know why at the club on Saturday I was having a hard time.
That's right.
With heartburn and chest pains, dude. It's because I'm the blitz now,
He's
dude.
The blitz. He's got the blitz yips with the
yips. Someone please take this blitz away from me because we need some help. But, yeah, it's every Friday. Like Lane said, we're going to get some other correspondents on there. If you like to gamble, check it out. Laney's Lock Show, great podcast. Also, rate, review, subscribe if you get a chance. Instead of the look around campus, Lano, we're going to do a look back at the weekend.
We're going to do a look around DFW.
Yes, a look around DFW. From what we remember, and I got to say, we have a lot to get to on this episode, so we're going to try to...
Tell you what I do remember.
Yeah.
An onside kick going back for six.
The what? Oh, God, yeah. Well, we'll get to that here in due course. Don't you worry. That's coming up. Dude, first off, let's give a shout-out to the boys, and we got a lot. Oh, and girl. Hold on. I don't want to forget about and girl. One girl who we love, and, I mean, she's like a sister to us. Shout out to the boys and Dez is what I'll call this little section. We got a lot to rattle off here, but it was great catching up with all of our old Texas Tech day ones. Carrington, Mason, we had old Dewey Clark out there. Taylor Brooks, Anal, that's a play on his last name. It's, not.
His name is Andrew.
His name's not actually Anal. His name's Andrew, but it's his college nickname. Great seeing Anal out there. Chandler Hargis, good seeing Chandler, man, out in the cut. Just, trying to hit some Irish car bombs there with us. Dez and Foster, we're getting down. It was great seeing Dez. We missed Danielle, her sister.
And old Boygenholtz.
About to get to Zach and Kylie. Danielle, if you're listening, we missed you. Can't wait to see you this weekend for old Caroline's birthday. Yeah. But Foster, great catching up too, man, and getting to see you and Dez out there. Zach, old Boygenholtz. And Kylie, hadn't caught up with Kylie and Zach in a long time. Two girls. What am I talking about? I can't leave Kylie
you said one.
Hanging. Kylie, I'm so sorry for that. No disrespect because you, deep down, you're actually like my favorite.
There was also a millionaire in the mix.
I never
another girl. I don't know her name, but she was apparently a millionaire.
She paid for bottle service. I know that.
Yeah.
But Kylie, deep down, you're my day one, my homie. And I love Kylie. Good to see her and Dez. And then last but not least, man, the kid himself. I can't believe we haven't got him on the pod. Old Nolan. Nolan, check out my dad, Texas Tech hoodie, Harvey.
How can we forget? Talk about a guy who was willing to smash some Irish car bombs.
Oh, yeah. And pay for some.
Good time seeing everybody there. It was a big reunion.
Yes.
A lot of fun. Good times.
A lot of fun. Really enjoyed catching up with everyone. Y'all are, we wish we could see y'all more often, but being in Houston and Dallas, man, it's so close yet so far away, dude.
We need the bullet train to be finished.
It's like if someone in Texas legislature could like give us an update on that or, see.
If only we had an insider.
Yeah, if only we had an insider, man, in the Texas House that could help us out with that. I'll say this, dude, we got a full moon working tonight. Driving in, I got a little Whataburger.
No wonder you're about to have a heart attack.
I got a little, I don't know if it's the gin or the what, dude. All I know is every sip is just detrimental to my podcast.
Would you order the clogger?
Dude, not only the clogger, the double clogger. Extra heart attack. So we had a full moon out there working, and it made me think of this weekend because, I mean, the boys were howling, dude, at the moon.
It was a full moon this weekend.
Saturday, dude, just howling away and, trying to kind of drink away the sorrows of the football game and get ready for what we were really hyped about for basketball. And let me just say, man, it was a letdown. But, Lane, you can't keep the big dog down forever. You
can't keep a big dog down.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Let's jump into the test.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Walk away, bitches. Walk away. Tech basketball game experience, dude. Live crowd. Live crowd at Dickey's Arena. Honestly, I loved being a part of that electric Texas Tech atmosphere. Almost felt like a regular game.
It almost felt like a home game, although it was limited seating. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like a packed stadium, but everyone there was loud, you could really hear people on the court. It was great. The fans were incredible.
We were grilling, dude. I'll just say that as fans, we, and especially our little section, we accomplished our goal by getting in one of the players' heads because number four felt the need after the game to not only show a guns down to us, but just run over to his bench with the guns down. To me, I think that's job well done, fans. Like, you psyched that guy out.
Yeah, job well done. We had one guy go a little crazy.
He just his consistency was a little bit off. Like, his mind was in the right place, but he just didn't have enough feel for it.
Absolutely, but he was definitely having a good time.
Yes, and that's all that matters, right? So, good job, fans. Chris Beard was very appreciative at the end of the game. He talked about how they didn't play well, but he was very thankful for the fans that traveled. We have the best fans in the nation, dude. I'll go toe-to-toe with anybody, man. I mean, we're loud and we're proud and they travel well. So that was fun. Lane, my probably favorite part of that whole experience was after the game. And I got to give a shout-out, too, real quick, to John King. He was our one.
We forgot to shout him out on the reunion.
Well, he's not a Tech fan. I was going to say, that was Texas Tech reunion. Now we're getting into John King's part in this. One, he drove us home. That's a homie move because
– that was big.
He was sober the whole weekend. So he drove us home. Shout-out to him for that. Two, he sat in the middle of Nolan, me, you. He was there and then in the middle. Then Ben Herringer.
You mean Haber?
No, dude. Ben Herringer, man. I get my – yeah, anyways. And then Nick on that other side. And then those other dudes behind us. So he was like in the heart of a young, rambunctious, and rowdy Texas Tech section. And, dude, we talk about in our Matador Motivational preaching stoicism and being stoic and not letting your emotions get the best of you. He handled himself – Like a pitcher on the mound playing in Yankee Stadium would, or playing at a away game, unfazed, unrattled, dude.
He handled it better than number three and number four from U of H.
He had more composure than the damn players did.
Yeah.
So, Sean King, dude, hey, we are not worthy. Thank you for driving us home. And, I mean, dude, like I said, you can tell that guy's a pitcher in the league because of his poise and his calm and collectiveness.
Yeah. Without John King, I don't make it to work on Monday.
We don't make it back to Houston because none of us were going to be able to drive. Dude, my favorite part of that trip, what I was getting at, shamelessly plugging Ramblin' Raiders after the game, just people walking by and us sitting there going, hey, you listen to podcasts? Check out Ramblin' Raiders. And honestly, another shout-out to Tech fans because we got good reception for it.
Not to mention, some people saying they already listened, so that's great.
Specifically, I was about to say our girl Catherine, she was with her, I think, boyfriend or maybe, I don't know. She was with a guy walking away. She was the one that yelled back, "I already follow y'all."
Oh, hell yeah.
She tweeted at us right after that and was like, "I told y'all I followed you." Catherine, thank you for being interactive and keeping up with us. Dude, Tanner Tarvin.
Tarvin makes a big show.
Bro, we've been interacting with Tanner about, you know, Texas Tech and on the podcast, and we got to give him a big shout out. The first like 20 minutes of this pod are going to be straight shout outs. Tanner was a lot of fun to watch the game with, man. Just you could tell a good old Red Raider. Dude was, you know, heckling pretty tastefully, which is something that we try to, you know, do if we can compose ourselves. And we usually, I feel like we do a pretty good job. Maybe sometimes we slip up a little bit, but just really good to get to know him better and interact. And I think we arranged it. I mean, I know some beers were flowing, but I think we arranged trying to get him on the podcast. So, Tanner.
I think that was said, and yeah, it definitely should happen.
I agree.
Too bad we missed him this time around at the bars before the game.
I know, but.
But, hey, next time. Yeah. We'll always be back in DFW sometime.
Hey, we're like Jon Snow. We always come back. And he was saying him and Lane rival in the hot takes department, man.
Yeah, and I said we go toe-to-toe with a hot take segment, you know, battle.
Who hates Wells more?
No, yeah.
Just kidding. So that was awesome. And then last but not least, you know, great seeing Tanner. Last but not least, the girl who ran out of her car, the young lady who got out of her car, ran over to our car and was like, "I'll follow." And we were holding a shirt. We were holding a shirt up at the game trying to get exposure. And then we also did it in the car. And Nick, how dare he? She ran all the way from her car over to our car. And I was like, "Bro, she's here over here. You got to give her the shirt, man." Because she was asking for some Ramblin' Raiders merch. You can't stiff her like that. In the last moment, luckily we talked Nick into doing it.
We don't have merch for ourselves to wear. We have merch for
other
people.
He said it was his favorite shirt. Lane,
which I agree with. I mean, it's a great shirt.
Lane reminded him calmly, "We can get him another shirt." But I'm pretty sure I had to rip it out of his hands, and we gave it to that young lady. Let me tell you right now, it was absolutely worth it. Remember to rep it. Remember to go rate, review, and follow Ramblin' Raiders.
She better have followed us.
I think she did.
Oh, okay.
And we are thankful for your support. But just know the Griffon boys were fighting for you to get that shirt, man. It was Nick's favorite shirt. And also shout out to Nick for relinquishing it against his better judgment, against his will. Great experience, Lane. Just a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, absolutely. The basketball game was just a great atmosphere. Ran into some, you know, old Tech people, saw old Tech people all over the place, you know, up in the concession area, ran into people. So it was a great time.
I just took a sip of gin, dude, so watch out.
Oh, here we go. Wait, yeah. Jackson might be the hot take specialist.
Heartburn, tonight. Yeah. Yeah, I just took a sip of gin. No, I'm saying watch out, like heartburn and, you know, some belches coming here soon. But, no, a lot of fun, man. Good time. I got to rep my jacket my badass throwback jacket for the first time. Got major love on that.
You had to be sweating, though, because it's a ski jacket.
Well, outside it wasn't that bad. It was actually really cold on Sunday. True. Inside, I took it off. Yeah, I didn't know. Inside, I took it off. There was no way you were rocking a jacket like that in there. But anyways, we're moving on. We got three phases of this podcast, dude. Two of them we're not going to enjoy talking about very much, but we got to give the content to the just ever, you know, ever so lovely listeners that are tuning into this right now. Texas Tech basketball recap, dude. And we're going to actually talk a little bit about the Lady Red Raider basketball as far as some games being canceled. Actually, let's do that first. Lady Red Raiders basketball, dude, their game against Missouri, I was really excited because they were playing two, you know, SEC teams right off the back against Missouri and Vanderbilt. Both of them got canceled to COVID. I know Lane was really excited about those games. He loves Lady Red Raider basketball, women's basketball in general.
Yeah, we tough news, man. We apparently have a squad coming back. I got some insider information. One of my old roommates is a part of the girls' practice team.
Oh, really?
Jay. He's a practice player for the girls, so maybe we can get some insider info from him. But, yeah, we're supposed to have a good squad back. It's really disappointing that they had two of their biggest non-conference games canceled early.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the Missouri game, but I know that Vanderbilt had some issues with COVID within their own program, so they had to cancel, unfortunately. And then, I don't know if it was on Missouri's end or if they didn't want to travel to Lubbock or something, as we're about to talk about St. John's. But anyways, tough news. Two games canceled, Missouri and Vanderbilt, due to COVID for the Lady Red Raider basketball team. Texas Tech basketball recap, 2-1 on the season. You know, we're coming off a fresh loss to U of H. Some news breaking today. Joel Natumbwe parted from the men's basketball team. Let me pull up real quick, Lane. Did you see that today?
I did see that.
Let me pull up the screenshot of it.
Interesting news. Do we have he just didn't like the squad.
Well,
wasn't gelling.
It's kind of obviously all speculation right now, but the bit I saw on it, Beard confirmed that Natumbwe told him the decision to leave the program was based on personal reasons and what is best for his family. This is a quote from Beard. We appreciate Joel's contributions to our basketball program. Beard said, we wish Joel the best in his future. I'll personally be pulling for him to succeed in his next step, as I'm sure, you know, we all are pulling for him to do well. You know, not being really with him or like not knowing him, I should say, or his family, you know, it's hard. I don't know what's going on there. There might be some serious family issues or something with him that he needs to take care of. And if that's the case, then, you know, like we said, you know, God bless. And we wish him the best. Red Raider Nation, you know, wishes him the best moving forward. It is unfortunate. And I think a lot of fans, I don't want to get too into the weeds because, like I said, it is all speculation. We're not inside that inner circle. You know, we don't know really what's going on, but I believe a lot of fans are going to assume this is about playing time, dude, because he just he started a lot of games and had a lot of PT in his freshman year at UNLV. Came last year, didn't get his waiver waiver to play, and then this year, you know, he played I think 5 or 6 minutes against Sam Houston, got a little bit of, you know, PT against NW State. And against, I read something earlier, I think it was he got 3 to 4 minutes against U of H. So bottom line is, again, I say this, you know, I believe a lot of fans are going to assume that it was based off playing time. If that's the case, you know, it's unfortunate because you always like to see guys compete, try to earn some playing time. If it's me personally, I'm probably, you know, I would maybe take a different approach. But, hey, everybody's different. Everybody has a different story to tell, and if it's best for him, it's best for him. So.
Well, absolutely, yeah. What's kind of sucks for him, you know, obviously we don't know what's going on, like Jackson said, with his personal life, but what's tough on him is that he had to sit out last year, and basically now that year has essentially been wasted because he's not going to play for the Texas Tech team, which means I don't know if he's planning on transferring again. Hopefully he gets a waiver to play immediately, or I don't know.
There were talks of G League maybe trying to play with his brother.
I just hope he gets back on the court and you know, has some success.
Yeah. After everything he went through, would have really liked to have seen him try to compete. But if anything, that just speaks to the depth of this team, that a good player like him couldn't really get any, you know, any court time, any PT here in the first couple games. you know, who knows? But yeah, we do wish him the best, and you know, hope that it all works out. I know there was also some worries at the beginning of this season in the summer. You know, he wasn't back at the camp, and you know, there was talks with his, when his brother didn't commit, that he kind of wasn't as into it, and sort of felt that like that might have been an issue as well. But anyways, we're off of that. St. John's cancels the game due to COVID concerns. However, we just got it replaced with – we're playing Troy.
Troy.
Not as good of a team, but, hey, we respect them for at least having the balls to play us. You know, the
– in Lubbock.
St. John's – and look, I
in
get it.
In that hotbed of COVID.
I understand. COVID is obviously a concern, but I'm just going to, again, say this in my opinion. Our players seem to be doing fine and you know, not having too many issues with COVID as of right now.
I don't understand. It's not like these kids are going to be running rampant in Lubbock.
If they have any team structure and rules and guidelines,
that just doesn't make sense to me. Yes, you know, I've seen everything being said about how bad Lubbock is with COVID. But guys, we have to remember these aren't regular students. They're these are the student athletes who are not going to be roaming the streets of Lubbock.
So St. John's cancels the game due to COVID concerns. That's fine. I'm going to chalk it up to them knowing they were going to get that ass whooped by Chris Beard coming off of a big loss. You know he's going to respond. The team's going to be hot, fired up. I think they just knew that they were about to take that L, bro.
Yeah.
But, hey, also, dodging COVID, you know, we'll give you props on that. What if you really feel your team's in major, you know, danger, then that's understandable.
Go back to New York where it's a big hotbed as well.
But let's just not pretend like y'all weren't going to catch those.
Once again, they're not just roaming the streets of New York, they?
Yeah, but let's just pretend, or let's not pretend that you guys weren't going to catch that L anyways. Let's talk a little bit about this team, dude, before we get into the Oklahoma State recap. Like I said, a lot to go through tonight. Bright spots so far, man. We're going to keep it short. I know we haven't really got a chance to, you know, talk about it as much. We had the Ronald Ross episode, which was great. But as far as the rambling guys go, we haven't done a deep dive into this team, who we're excited about. And that's coming, guys. We just got to, you know, kind of get through football. And, you know, we don't want to overwhelm y'all with 2-3 hour episodes. So we're trying to keep it sweet. But really quick, a guy who I was high on before this, because I've seen him play in high school, and I thought he had a high motor, you know, high energy. Micah Peavy is looking good. He's the best freshman we have as of right now. He's shown the ability to slash and play above the rim, which is, you know, needed. And he you know, gets in there. He scraps for boards. He's lanky. You know, he needs to work on his free throws, but he looks really good. He also plays defense at a high level. McClung has also looked impressive, man. His ability to score the ball is much needed so far, and he looks good, dude, through the first three games. Texas Tech's defense is overall impressive. We got a little bit of a scare against U of H.
I mean, they really shot the ball lights out.
Yeah,
but that's not going to happen every night. Yeah.
They did have a couple guys.
We could have played better.
TJ Shannon, who I think is a great perimeter defender. I mean, he got taken by he got blown by a couple times. We'll see how that goes, but for you, man, bright spots.
You kind of took the words out of my mouth. I think Mac McClung has been
old Matt.
I think he's been by far the best player on this team through
three games.
I think it's night and day.
Absolutely.
Which coming into this season, you know, we knew he was going to be good. I personally did not expect him to be the best player on this team through, you know, these first couple games. He's stepped up big time, in my opinion.
These jingles are for Mac.
Micah Peavy definitely looks good. He's got to work on some free throws. That can be fixed.
Yep.
I think Shannon has played pretty well.
Yeah.
I think he's going to improve throughout the year.
Yeah.
So that's another bright spot. But, yeah, I think U of H is the – pretty good team.
They are. No, so they're very solid.
Catching them early might be a little of a wake-up call for the squad.
I am 100% with you there. Early concerns, we'll just kind of get through these quick. Rebounding and size seems to be a major area of concern again this year, at least as far as the U of H game goes. We got out-rebounded terribly.
That is scary.
Yeah, we played small ball. I mean, with the loss of Joel, even though Joel really isn't a true – I mean, he's a big guy, but he's not – he's a forward. He likes to step out. I wouldn't say he's, you know, a major – boarder, you know, a guy who bangs down low to get boards. But, you know, last year that was an issue. We were guard heavy, and teams like Baylor, dude, I mean, they're going to tear us up on the glass. We got to figure out. I mean, our dad, who used to be a coach for high school for, I think, you know, somewhere 12 to 15 years, he said that was the biggest concern to him was the rebound, because other things you can fix. that one's tough.
You can fix free throws. You can work on your defense and your, you know, your spacing there. But getting out rebounded is something that is not easily fixable. I mean, you have to
You got to have the guys, dude.
You got to have the guys to do it. And, I mean, if you're going to fix it in the middle of a season, you got to really strategize your boxing out and how you're going to kind of go about creating opportunities to get rebounds.
Yeah. We're actually watching Kansas just tipped off against Kentucky. Should be a good game. Free throws, obviously a huge problem in last game. You can fix that. Get them in. Coach is going to – I think, actually, I heard that they were still shooting free throws right now.
Good.
You know, today's Tuesday whenever we're recording this. And Beard's all they've done so far this week in preparation for now, Troy, is shoot free throws. Because, damn, dude. I mean, if they make some free throws, we're in that game. ESPN's getting jumpy over here.
With the rebounding, you're almost going to have to set up. If you can't get rebounds, you're going to have to – strategize almost like a zone blocking technique football to get boards.
No doubt. Namari Burnett, man, is to this point, I still think he's got tremendous upside and will be a huge asset for this team, but this is something that you run with you know, big five-star freshmen is guys just – it takes them time to adapt to the college game, the speed of the game, the physicality of the game, and it looks like right now Burnett is still figuring it out. Like I said, I think he'll get there. But, you know, it's just something Tech fans are going to have to get used to now with these big five-star recruits. Some of them just adjust differently. I mean, look at the way Micah Peavy came in versus other guys. It's, you know, important to remember that. Kyler Edwards, man, I'm a big Kyler Edwards guy. I've always enjoyed watching him play, and I think he's an asset. But we are really going to need him to step up, man, and be a leader, be a ball, a kind of a floor general, and a baller for us if this team's going to have a shot at competing for the Big 12 title. Those were my notes. Against U of H, guys, let's just call it what it is. Two really good teams squared off, and one simply played better than the other. They were lights out in the first half. Some of them open threes, some of them really difficult shots. Tech's offensive productivity was non-existent, zero, zilch, nada. And, you know, they just weren't very efficient. Our motion offense looked stagnant. Guys weren't spaced out well enough. And that could be, you know, a thing that's going to gel and improve as the season goes on. We saw it happen with, you know, the national championship team when they kind of got that offense finally started clicking and they started playing together. But no need to, you know, of course, with wins and losses, you're always going to have people panic and be hyperbolic and overanalyze everything. Those are two good teams. U of H is a great squad. They're a Sweet 16, Elite Eight caliber team.
I was just about to say that. Yeah. They're definitely a team who, as of right now, looks like they could potentially be a tournament make-a-run type team.
They have very good guard play.
Great guard play. They're big, lengthy guards. They play defense. They're well-coached.
Yep.
They shot the ball well. They can get to the rack and create dish and kick opportunities. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, they're a good team. And
again, they shot over 50% in the first half, guys. That's not going to happen every night. So, you know, we battled back. Hell, we almost cut it to six with, you know, a few minutes left, and we just couldn't do it. But I don't think U of H is light years better than we are. You know, I saw people – anyway, I saw some fans and some, you know, outlets.
This is basketball, not football.
Let's just face it. These are two good teams. One of them played better than the other. You know, I'm not going to call U of H Kansas. I'm not going to self-proclaim U of H as the national championships. They're good. I think that, you know, Tech plays them again. We're very capable of beating them.
Absolutely.
They just played better. They had a better game.
There's no reason to.
Let's not overreact.
Pull your hair out over this one. Yeah. It's a tough loss. I mean, it's hopefully a wake-up call that, you know, this team was very hyped up, this Texas Tech team, and hopefully this is a, you know, hey, you still got to show up every night and play.
Yeah. And they're not a – like I said, man, I'm not going to call them Baylor or Gonzaga or get ahead of ourselves. But they're – I mean, they're just as good as UT, West Virginia. I mean, they can probably play with and beat Kansas, obviously they did play with and beat us. They would be competitive in the Big 12 this year. They're a good squad. Guys, we're going to get into more basketball as we move on, but we have a lot of ground to cover still. Just like our boy Sir Roger Thompson covered a lot of ground in Stillwater on Saturday.
What a bright spot.
Dude, we're about to sing high praises, high to the heavens of that young man. Let's talk about it, Lane. Oklahoma State recap, just another heartbreaker. I'll get right into it. My instant reaction, it's another game that leaves you scratching your head as a Tech fan from a coaching perspective. Now, we did have player personnel mistakes in this game, but still, dude, we played well enough to win this game and some critical errors, one big one from the coaching standpoint, ended up costing us a win, dude. Tech had 639 total yards in this ball game, 100 more yards than Oklahoma State had. We played hard enough and well enough, I truly believe, to win this one. It sucks because Oklahoma State is a pretty decent squad, and we're not that bad, dude. We just can't get over the hump.
I think it's weird this year. Every single game,
there's something.
There's a call, a play, something that Matt Wells, Yost, the team, something happens to where after every game, there's one play. It's like, you know, there's a group of fans who absolutely hate the call and are ripping it. There's a group of fans who think it was a great call, just didn't get the bounce. And then there's the middle of, you know, like, it could have happened, it didn't go our way. Yeah. It's a weird year. Matt Wells is,
they might,
every game you're scratching your head.
I feel like they might be sniffing some fentanyl in the locker room, like at halftime, because we come out and we just make play calls that a mentally coherent person with all their faculties would not call.
I think it might boil down to Matt Wells kind of knows the history of Texas Tech and our sayings of swing that sword and you know, Mike Leach used to be the wild pirate, would, you know, make crazy play calls and usually paid off for him. Some didn't, but he kind of knows that history. Kingsbury did it as well, and I think he's trying to, you know, emulate that. But it's just every single one has not gone his way.
Dude, I'm trying to. I was doing some reading, catching up. I was trying to find this word. Oh, there it is. A masochist. Dude, I think Matt Wells is a masochist in the more modern sense, which is someone who takes pleasure in pain. All right, our internet's slow, but this is loading. That's it. I was reading earlier, and I didn't know what this was, but now I do know what it is. The definition is Matt Wells. All right, get ready for this. Masochist. A person who, okay, no, that's we're talking about it in the more modern sense, which is someone who loves pain, dude, enjoys all kinds of pain, a person who enjoys an activity that appears to be painful or tedious. That is Matt Wells, man. It's like self-inflicted wounds, dude. He likes to self-sabotage it. I just don't understand it. Negatives, man. We just first thing on the outline, and we just went over it. Another saga of the call is what I'm deeming, you know, these. Momentum killer plus abysmal execution. Lane, you talked about this, and I'm not going to argue. You know, in the moment, I'll even say this. I'm not going to argue against the fact that there's no need to make that call. You were right.
We have all the momentum.
Yeah, your defense is playing well. We have all the momentum. But even if he does, you make that call, you get the onside, you're a hero, I get it. If you don't get the onside, even if we get a tackle, if he can just execute the simplicity of
a
normal onside kick, at least then you're still up and your defense can maybe get a stop on a field goal, home to a field goal, then you're tied. If they go down and score, you know, it's still upsetting. But the fact that not only was the call made, which again, I know, you know, Nick and you know, the guys we were with were saying momentum killer, and I agree. I'm not going to argue against that point.
We had made three stops in a row on defense.
Even then, I'm sitting there going, even if you do make that call, I can live with it. At least if you get a damn tackle, dude. The fact that you're willing to make that call, and yet there's no apparent plan for like there's no process procedure put in place that gives me any confidence that you would be able to execute that play.
It's so poorly executed. I mean, it's not even funny.
There's not a safety net. There's not a guy spying, a dude kind of waiting in the wings.
No one attacks the
wall.
A
trailer. The dude literally just ran forward, scooped it. It's mind-blowing. And again, don't make the call. Or if you do, at least make a damn tackle. That's just...
Make a damn tackle. Just execute a normal onside kick.
Ow. Yeah, execute it. Make a tackle. I mean, it boils down to getting the guy down around the 50-yard line. Ow, hold on. Headache.
Something with this coaching staff.
Turnovers were brutal in this game. Luckily, Oklahoma State was careless with the ball as well. But two fumbles, one on a huge drive in. And then, of course, Bowman, who actually had a pretty solid game. The pick six was a backbreaker. Fumbles really hurt us, and then seven penalties, man. Undisciplined for 60 yards. Simply not good practice. You know,
all
that's,
day. That was
and,
all day.
And that's how you give away a win on the road. Against a good competitor like that, you kill yourself with penalties. You know, you're going to end up losing even if it's a close one. Those are the negatives, man. Let's talk about some positives, dude. I really, you know, as much crap as we've given Yost this year, we had a very balanced offensive attack in this game. 384 yards through the air on a couple of dime passes. And I do mean dime passes from Alan Bowman. I kind of think we're ready to maybe put that debate to rest. Bowman is clearly...
He's got to cut down the pick sixes, but...
Yeah, again, if you're going to throw a pick, at least don't let it be a pick six. Although I will say that guy did make a hell of a read. I mean, he you know, came across on it. 384 yards through the air, 255 yards on the ground. What did I say earlier? 639 total yards. We executed. We and then, hell, that's with a pick six and two... fumbles.
A couple of bad three and outs, too.
But offensively, we played pretty solid in this game. I mean, we bash Yost. I'm going to give him credit where it's due.
Yeah.
Dude called a game where we were able to execute offensively. It just is unfortunate that we still can't find a way to capitalize on this.
Yeah, because, you know, you have a turnover, an onside kick that goes for six. Yeah. That's tough to overcome.
Will's sitting there going, I'm trying to save my job, coach. Come on. You couldn't help me out there. Skill positions looked really solid in this game, man. Eric Ezukama, EZE, will go down. I'm saying this now. Especially if he stays another year, he's going to go down as one of the Texas Tech greats. And we have a ton of them at the receiver position at Tech. Dude, he's lights out, man. Ezukama is just an amazing receiver.
Who you expect to see on Sundays, potentially, you know, if he keeps working at it, keeps grinding.
And he's also the kind of guy. I mean, he in a regular season, he's on pace for over an 1,000-yard season receiving right now. Really impressive. The backs, Thompson and White, dominated on the ground. Just some amazing, busted off some crazy runs.
So, Roderick, it keeps impressing me how he's able to shake tackles in the backfield and turn nothing into positive gains.
Yeah, when our line's struggling. But how about White, dude, running into a brick wall and just bouncing it outside for a huge score? White looked incredible. Price, although he had the fumble, had some big catches and plays in this game. He had an amazing catch there towards the end. And Bowman. I mean, all of our skilled players. Bowman, despite the pick six, he threw some dimes in this one. And, I mean, he was able to get it going at times. Another positive, Garibay, one for one. As a Texas Tech fan,
solid as ever.
We'll take it, dude. We will take any field goals we make. Also, our O-line, I will say this, man. They did struggle at times. They also gave Bowman enough time to get off big passes in this one. I think they're, unfortunately, it's a little too late. It's a story of, you know, too little, too late. But they're starting to mesh and play a little bit better.
Maybe they'll come back next year.
All we have is Kansas, but, you know, it's I'll give them that. My neutral kind of opinion on this game, dude, once again, the defense played well enough to win this game, to win you this game. Now, they had an atrocious second quarter. They played really bad, letting up some stuff there. Rough second quarter, but they made plays and got stops and chance in parts of this game that gave Tech an opportunity where in the past, Lane, we haven't seen a Tech defense play to that level. McPherson has really come on this season.
Yeah,
man.
He's a guy. We kind of, I think, bashed a little bit at the beginning of the season after that first game, maybe. Oh, yeah, take it back for sure. This guy's stepped up huge. He's made big deflections. He's
solid.
Made a ton of picks.
Yeah, solid as they come, man.
He's got a nose for the ball, so he's had a really good year.
So our offense was our defense was a little bit up and down in this game, but at the same time, we've talked about all year, they gave you a shot, you know. They did have some bad plays in, you know, throughout, but it's kind of a neutral for me. Here's my overall analysis, man. This team's record does not reflect the capability of these players, dude. I'm telling you, it's unfortunate. Unfortunately, you know, we've had coaching errors, and it really the coaching has been a major concern, at least for me this season. We've had some critical errors that have cost us dearly. I saw an interesting quote from a random Texas Tech fan spectator that I you know, pinned and earmarked. Because I thought it was very interesting. He said, great coaches, and this is right, great coaches find ways to get more productivity out of less, and I'm paraphrasing, great coaches find ways to get more productivity out of less talented players. This staff has underachieved with more talented players than we've even had in the past. I mean, there's some capable dudes on this squad, and this staff has seemed to underachieve with this talent. the future is uncertain. That's all I'm going to say, man. Texas Tech played, and that's the thing that gets me with this staff is we do look good at times. I mean, we're definitely, we've been worried about becoming Kansas-esque. We're not Kansas. We're not that bad. This team can compete, at, you know, and they've showed it at key junctures of the season. But it's uncertain, man, because we just, X's and O's aren't there all the time. They're not, simply put.
Yeah, I agree. The problem, you know, I agree with that quote. The problem is this coaching staff, I mean, this team, but mainly this coaching staff finds a way, it seems like almost every game, to beat themselves. And you just can't have that in a program. If you want to be a successful program, that's just not going to cut it.
Agreed, man. Well,
you can't shoot yourself in the foot every game and expect to win.
Very true. Well, that's all we got for Oklahoma State. I hope it was rowdy enough, you know, for you listeners. We tried to give it our all on this full moon episode. Ow! Did someone let Winston in? Is that Hank and Winston out there?
Is that a bloodhound?
Who was that? Who was that, man? You know, getting us riled up. That's all we got. We're going to run through Kansas very, very quickly, guys. There's not a whole lot to talk about here, and we're really going long on time. Senior day in the LBK. You know, this team's really bad, dude. I mean,
Jackson, okay.
Take the bad news Bears and multiply that by a billion.
This is what I'm going to say about this Kansas team. One, it's possibly one of the worst
they've ever had.
Power Five conference teams ever assembled. They're bad. And if you lose to this team, it's the worst loss probably in Texas Tech history. I mean, I'm pretty young, so I'm sure there's some of the older fans could you know, name a couple, but my God.
There's a strong argument to be made. We'll say that.
If Matt Wells takes an L in this one, he's got to be fired on the spot.
I don't think he will, but I'll say this. He will be, you'll be in a lot of trouble come next season.
Now, I'm not saying I think it's going to happen. I think we're going to win this game, guys. Yeah. But, you know.
Long story short, it will be major trouble. I mean, I think HBU gives Kansas all they want, dude, and probably beats them, honestly.
What is that guy's name? Zagsby?
Zappy?
Zappy? Zappy's going off.
This team is terrible, dude. I mean, they lost Puka Williams earlier in the season. Their one marquee player that they had, you know, the dude who ran. Really, I don't know why he went to Kansas, but he had a huge year last year, and you know, was definitely a marquee guy for them. I'm just gonna read y'all some of the dudes they have. I don't even want to get into the weeds of this. It's not that important. Jalen Daniels is their quarterback. He's whatever.
We'll rotate him.
We'll list some stats off since Nick's not here. You know, Nick's not here to do it for us. I guess I'll step up and take care of it for the Ramblin' Raiders. Jalen Daniels, 76 of 152. He has 718 pass yards, 50% completion rate, 4.7 average. Just not spectacular. You know, they have. Velton Gardner is now their go-to guy running back. 72 attempts on 325 yards. It's terrible.
It's just awful production numbers.
Man. I mean, their best receiver,
Jackson's back with the names.
Kamey Leister the second. Kamey, I think. I don't know. I'm sorry.
The second, huh?
I can get at this at least. K. Leister, the second, 38 of, or he's got 30 receptions, 440 yards. Leading tackler, Kenny Logan. They said, like, he's nowhere and close to comparison to Logan Paul or his brother Jake Paul. You know, he's got 38 solo, 17 assisted, 55 total. They're bad. Okay, guys, this is a bad team. And important matchups for me on this one. Texas Tech should really dominate this team in all facets of the game. I'd like to see our defense clamp down in the final game and hold Kansas to minimal scoring. Would also really love to see our O-line finish on a high note, man. Really get some blocks. Let's blow them out of the water.
This really needs to be a double-digit point win, multiple touchdown.
Oh, well, yeah, win. Absolutely. Keys to victory here. Don't be terrible. Do not be terrible. Kansas is 0-8, and they've been getting absolutely destroyed. You know, week in and week out, this might be one of the worst teams, as Lane said, they've had in a while, which is really saying something. Alcohol sales are skyrocketing in Lawrence, Kansas after their basketball team loss, and every year around football season, they are, you know, drinking themselves silly. Predictions, dude. I got this Texas Tech 48, Kansas 17. I think we kicked their ass pretty solid.
Yeah, it, you know, it needs to be a big win here. Like you said, just don't be terrible. If we find a way...
4-6. That's all we're asking. 4-6, all right?
If we find a way to somehow not pooch kick, do onsides, return for touchdowns, you know, the mental things, I think, you know, not slide down on the three and surrender. As long as we don't surrender to Kansas, I think we can win this game. I hope it's a big one. I think we're going to win... 35-17.
Oh, dude. I didn't know if we were watching the Texas Tech Red Raiders or the little Giants out there, man, with some of the play calling that's been going on of late. But Matt Wells, hey, dude, I'll say this for him. And actually, we're going to get into it in our football season recap at the end. I do got to give him major props on the way he's handled COVID, dude. The fact we haven't missed a game all year.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
We don't want to be totally negative on Wells. We'll give him props there. Look, if he goes 4-6, technically, that's improvement. Technically, okay?
It's improvement, and it's actually better than I predicted, I think. Yeah, I had him at three wins.
And now we're about to get into this, but look, we'll get into Wells later. I still do believe that there is a – it's going to take a lot. I think there's a chance. He's going to have to definitely surround himself with some better guys. But I think that Wells has a shot at making it out. You know, let's just get him on the podcast, dude, and really hash it out with one another. That's our prediction.
He would roast the shit out of us.
For what? Being honest?
I don't know. For just... He'd do us like Don.
I was about to say, we're not Don Williams, dude. Like, he, you know, he's got to show us some. I mean, like, we're... Okay, who are we kidding? We probably are, like... Williams.
I've probably said some. No, you've said a lot worse.
You've said a lot worse. At least Don's a professional, unlike us. No, I mean, what, dude? Hey, we're fair, dude. We're critical when necessary. We praise when necessary.
Hey, I'm rooting for him.
Right, we're rooting for you, big dog. I think he'd actually, honestly, I think he'd have a good time with it. Now we are ready to get into our next segment. We hope you all have enjoyed. I can't believe this is our last game of the season, man. We made it through an entire COVID-ridden season, 10 games. We're about to get into the potential for an 11th game this season. Lane, with our hot takes segment, I need you with me on this one. You are the hot takes guru, hot takes with Laney Cakes.
Yes, sir.
And we are ready for that now.
Sometimes I had too many beers, which I gladly do and which I fully embrace. Automatic. Still is. I liked beer. I still like beer. Automatic. Still is. But I did not drink beer to the point of blacking out. When I was in town, I spent much of my time working out, lifting weights. Too many beers. Automatic. Still is. Sometimes I had too many beers, which I gladly do and which I fully embrace. Working out, automatic. Blacking out, automatic. Catholic all-girls schools, automatic. Still is.
Sip of a gin and tonic on our Instagram story. Automatic.
Automatic is right, because it's hot take time in the lab.
That's right, man. We're in the studio, and now we got hot takes ready to go. Tonight,
a shot of Madeira, perhaps.
A shot of Madeira, perhaps. Tonight, dude, we're going to be talking about, and this really is, not just for Texas Tech fans. It's kind of applicable to everybody that finds themselves below the 6-win mark going into what is perceived as bowl season. There's already been 9 bowls canceled this year, so who knows what that's going to look like. But the hot takes is, if Texas Tech is invited to a bowl, should they accept it? And again, if you're a fan of another team listening to this, shout out to Cassie Lawson, FHS class of 2011. We take care of each other. Thank you for the support. She didn't even go to Texas Tech, but she listens to the Ramblin' Raiders podcast. She just tagged us on her Instagram story, and we shared that. What can you say, Lane? I mean, FHS class 2011. Yeah, I know we're getting old, but we're still looking out for one another. And honestly, much appreciation from the Ramblin' Raiders, Cassie. That is awesome. Thanks for listening.
Can't beat some good old classic Friendswood support.
You can't, man. And so we're very thankful for that. I meant it when I said it. She's the GOAT right now, dude, because she follows
absolutely
and somehow listens to us, even though she doesn't care about Texas Tech. That's saying something. This hot take, as I was going to get into a second ago, is for it doesn't have to be pertain just to Texas Tech. people. It actually can be for other teams, any listeners that we have, like Cassie, that support other colleges, other teams that find themselves in this situation where you're either 5-5 or 4-6. This is applicable to you too. We're just going to use Texas Tech as a reference. Funny on the Ramblin' Raiders, why we would do that. But dude, here it is. Should Texas Tech, if invited to a bowl game, should they accept it this year at potentially, we pray, 4-6? If we're 3-7, then not only no, but hell no. And I mean, just if we lose to Kansas, burn the program to the ground. But here's my stance on it, Lane. How I feel about it. Hot takes with Lane Cakes. In any other year, I would say no. If we're even in a year where you play 12 games, if we're 5-7, those teams that go, I'm not a fan of, because going to a bowl game and getting to that 6-win mark should be something to aspire to. That's an accomplishment, an accolade, something to celebrate. You want to get to 6 wins so that you feel that sense of accomplishment and go into a bowl game. When you get 5 or 4, no. So if in some future weird scenario, you know, some unforeseen circumstance where in a normal season Tech is 4 wins and somehow is looking at playing in a bowl game, no, absolutely not. I disagree. However, this year, and because due to COVID, I believe this team should accept the opportunity to play in a bowl game, especially if that opportunity is against SMU in Dallas, because I think it has beneficial, external reasons and can be good for our program. But what's your take on it, man, as far as should Tech, if offered the opportunity at 4-6, should they play in a bowl game this year?
So my initial take is hell no, for a couple of reasons. Bowl games in college football are rewarded to teams who do not have losing seasons, except, you know, they've gone to occasionally now having a 5-7 team, which I think is stupid, but that's a reward. Like you said, it's something to aspire to. It's something to accomplish.
Yeah.
What I'm using Texas Tech, I'm talking a little bit more specific about Texas Tech. What have they accomplished to deserve to go to a bowl game in being the 7th place team in the Big 12? That's not accomplishing anything.
I get that argument. I would say another reason why I kind of think that in a COVID year with 10 games, Texas Tech should be able to go is that in a regular season, you got to look at it this way.
And see, this is the argument I thought you were going to make.
Oh, well, yeah, I'll still make it. It's that, and now I'm not, you can't guarantee that we'd be 6-6 because Arizona, I truly believe that with the way Matt Wells has had our teams playing at home this year, I think that we came out, should have beat UT. We beat a good West Virginia team that I think is clearly better than Arizona. Baylor, hopefully Kansas. I truly believe that at home, if it's, in Tucson, I don't know. But at home, I think we get by Arizona. And then whatever team we play that was supposed to be HBU-esque, I think that we win that game. So 4-6 in a normal season could be 6-6. Or 5-7, which then, it kind of collapses on itself, but could be 6-6 and go into a bowl game. In a COVID year that's been so unpredictable as this one, the way I see it is that it's just, from a Tech fan perspective, if we do go out and beat an SMU team who has been ranked at times this season, and I truly believe after the way I watched us play against Oklahoma State, we're capable of winning against an SMU in Dallas, which I think would be good for recruiting. Which is another point I wanted to make: recruiting and a shot for Matt Wells to go out with a win in a bowl game in quotation marks, but against a team that people are saying SMU and we even said this year could beat us, could do this. It's a chance for Matt Wells to go out and prove himself. It's extra practices. This team, this coaching staff can use all the extra repetition. I mean that they can get. They can use a better reputation as well, but all the repetition they afforded to them, they need to seize the opportunity of that. I think it just could be good for the program, good for Matt Wells in the long run. And if he loses, then to me, it's even more fuel for the fire going into next season for fans to be like, look, we need to depart ways and go in a different direction. So I don't know. I mean, it's something that people can disagree on. There really is no right answer. But that's my two cents on it. I just think that if the opportunity with the COVID season that we've had, I think that we should take a shot at playing a bowl game.
Well, I mean, like I said, I just don't think this team has really made the accomplishments to be really deserving of a bowl game, finishing 7th in the Big 12. I also disagree. I don't know. SMU, we can disagree about who's going to win that game if potentially that bowl game comes.
I think it'll be a good game.
The only reason I say that maybe this team should take that you know bowl opportunity is because it's going to happen all over the country.
Yeah.
Why the hell not?
Well, in a COVID season, why not? Yeah. I mean, what are you missing out on?
There's going to be a lot of teams who are four and, you know, whatever, our record, 4-6 losses.
Mm-hmm. Is it? 4-6 and 5-5. Yeah. And we still might not. We still might not even get
that
asked.
But there will be teams who accept that this year. If ours is against SMU, I think that's a little scary for us. I think they're pretty damn good and might not be a great matchup. But I just don't think this team has quite been deserving of going to a bowl game. You finish seventh in the Big 12, and as a player, you know, it's kind of almost a slap in the face. Like, oh, we got to go play in this bowl game, even though we know we freaking finished seventh. But
then you come out and kick SMU's ass, and you're singing different praises going into the offseason, which would be cool.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be cool. I just think players sometimes, you know, it's kind of –
yeah, and then also
they have it. They want to go to a bowl game when they win those six games in the regular season. They get bowl eligible.
I look at it too. Those seniors, man, that might not want to come back or do whatever. I mean, just another game for them, I think, is cool. And again, in a regular year, I'm with you. I'm 100% against it, but I feel like there's opportunity to be had, and so that's why I feel that.
And that's where I agree with you. I think
it'd be a good opportunity
because of this year and because of what's going on across the country, where there will be several 4-win, 5-win teams who will be in bowl games this year. If Tech gets offered, you know, why not? Everyone is doing across the country.
Yeah, not to mention, dude, think about this. SMU's defense clamps us. Just another excuse for Yost to be gone. Then you're happy.
Absolutely.
No, so that's it's interesting. It's an interesting topic to debate, something that's been widely discussed. I've seen amongst Texas Tech Twitter and social media. You know, like I said, there really is no right answer. To be honest, I mean, there's no like definite answer. It's kind of a personal preference, but that's where the Ramblin' Raiders are on it. We'll get some feedback from our listeners across social media. Maybe we can put out a little poll and check in, get the pulse, see what's going on, and get the feel and the vibe on that. We're ready now, man. It's been a long ep. We're going to shut her down in a big way with a segment that everybody needs every week, that we need every week, every day.
Especially with how this football season's gone.
Yeah, honestly, dude, with the way basketball season's starting to break down.
I hope we have a full season.
I think you should change the Matador Motivational Podcast because we really enjoy doing this. And as you're going to see, this whether you know we need it every 10 minutes, every hour, we need it at all times. Lame, we're ready now for our
Matador Motivational.
Beautifully executed. Beautifully executed and well said. Today's topic is break down your hard tasks. What does that mean, guys? When you find yourself, whether it's at work, whether it's at a home you know, you're working on a project at home, side gig, a relationship, something that brings you kind of some distress, some anxieties. When you look at a task in your life, a goal that you're trying to accomplish that's overwhelming and daunting, you know, when you're facing an overwhelming challenge, focus. Try to break it down into smaller tasks. Why is this beneficial? You may be asking the chef. You may be asking Jackson, why? Why do I do that? Why is it beneficial? Because looking at something, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you have a hell of a day in front of you, right? When you start thinking about everything you have to do, of course you're going to feel a little overwhelmed. You're going to feel distressed thinking, man, that's how am I going to get all this done? How am I going to accomplish it? A healthier way to be able to navigate and get through these kind of tedious and you know strenuous circumstances is say, you know, first 30 minutes of my day, here's what I'm going to do to go be productive. Okay, I got that 30. And hell, you can even go 10-minute intervals, hour-long intervals. That's what we said. Matador Motivational, 10 minutes every day.
It's your preference.
It's your preference. But, you know, say 10 minutes. Well, look, let's do this first. Let me get ready and get that set up. Okay. Now I've done task number one. Let's go to task number two. When you take it in stride and you break it down and you apply maximum effort to little things, eventually, not only is that bid kind of this mental strength and capability, but you find yourself, hey, now it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and it doesn't have to be a day. It could be a week, it could be a month, it could be a year. When you have
a long project,
a long process in front of you, Take it step by step. Slow your roll down. And the next thing you know, you're like, man, I've accomplished. It'll get easier as you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've accomplished this. Now what was my next goal? You know, let's focus on the next hour.
I've got 25% done. You know, take a 5-minute break and get the next 25% done.
It's like when you're in detention and you have an hour. You know, you got to break it down by 10-minute intervals. Okay, I made it through the first 10 minutes. Relax. Take a deep breath.
Deep breath.
Only 50 more minutes of this. Or the SAT, dude. You got hours ahead of you on the test. Okay, like, why do you think they break it down into sections?
I mean, dude, I don't know how the hell kids take that thing twice. I knew after I took it, I was like, I don't give a damn what score I make. I'm not going back. It's torture.
I'll never do it. Yeah, I know I took the ACT multiple times. I think I might have taken SAT twice, but I don't remember. Just because I'm also, like Matt Wells, I am a masochist, and I like pain. I like to, you know, torture myself and just be put through tedious tasks.
It's really just not fair to kids to have to sit there for that long and take a test.
Not a masochist. Masochist we are. But, dude, that's what I'm saying. It's like,
hold on, hot take. What do we actually learn from kids taking the SAT, sitting there for hours upon hours, just their brain going mush?
Matador turned hot take. We learn that they have the mental capability to survive tough situations later on in life. But no, why do you think they break it down into sections? Because you tackle one section, and that's all you need. Then you get, I mean, think about it. If they said, all right, here's 4 hours, go.
Yeah.
You're going to freak out. They say, you got 30 minutes for this section. Guys, there's a reason for that. It's because it's easier to take things in dosages. It's easier to take things in strides. Think about annoying people in your life. You don't, if you got to be with them straight up for a week at a time, you're probably going to be, or like a week straight on something, you know, whatever, you're going to be freaking out. But if you're like, hey, I can take a little break here and, you know, have some me time, whatever, that's kind of a bad example, but, you know, take things in dosages, dude. And, you know, to mitigate being anxious and overwhelmed and stressed about it, to alleviate those stresses, it's best to handle things, break things down, break your task down, and take it one step at a time to get to finish your goal.
Absolutely. Great Matador led by Jackson. I totally agree. If you try to look at, you know, your big project coming up at work or, you know, something, that big task that you have, if you look at it, you know, all of it, and you say, I got to do this, 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 you're going to get overwhelmed, mm-hmm. and you're not going to complete it.
Yeah.
You're not going to get it done. You're going to go into sensory overload.
Sensory overload. Just kind of like when I go into sensory overload, when I drink enough gin and tonics or Irish car bombs, like, you will go into sensory overload.
Absolutely.
But not the good kind, the stressful kind.
Stressful kind. So you got to break it down.
It's like taking 100 Alpha Brains or the Queen's Gambit Tranquility Pills. Can somebody get back to us? How about when she goes just fistful of Tranquility Pills as a kid?
That was bold.
Unreal. Hey, but
I thought the show was going to end. I thought it was a miniseries.
I mean, good Lord, I was really worried about her. But she turned out all right.
She turned out a genius.
Here's another thing, dude. We're going to pose a question to the listeners. Can someone explain to us what those Tranquility Pills are? Because all they call them is, she goes, I need my Tranquility.
I want to know what they are, because it's obviously like a hallucinogen or something.
Oh, God. All right, well.
And also, I might want to know what they are so I can start playing chess.
Dude, apparently it worked for her. So anyways, that's our Matador Motivational, and you know, we hope you all got something from it and enjoyed that. All right, we're ready to close this episode out. We hope you've enjoyed this content. Hey, I just want to clarify, Lane. I just read another definition for a masochist. Someone who, where'd that go? Masochist here. Someone deriving sexual gratification from one's own pain or humiliation.
Damn, I thought you were going to say...
That sounds like Nick. I think Nick's that kind of masochist.
I thought you were going to say you had the definition for Tranquility Pills.
No, this is way worse. But anyways, dude, that's not the kind of masochist we're talking about. Just wanted to let everybody know that. We're talking about the general use. Anyways, man, it's been a great episode. And we, you know, have a lot of fun as always. We thank y'all for joining us. Remember to go follow us on... you know, social media. We're on Instagram at Ramblin' Raiders, also Twitter at Ramblin' Raiders, and our Facebook page is Ramblin' Raiders Podcast. We also, you know, have our website up. Check it out, ramblinraiders.com. A lot of good stuff on there. Y'all need to, you know, get your hands on and
go follow us on all the stuff.
And the stuff, dude. There's just tons of stuff to follow us on. Follow Laney's Locks. Lane is gonna keep, you know, working, grinding on that. But what else was I going to say about our website? Oh, yeah, we got merch and just all the goodies on there that you're going to want to, you know, feast your eyes on. So do that, rate, review, subscribe, and I think that about does it, Wayne.
Absolutely.
That's all we got, man. You have any words of advice for the listeners?
Keep your guns up, as always. Have a good week as we start this
Christmas time.
Christmas time in the city.
We'll have some Christmas, you know, stuff coming up in later episodes. Been a good time. As always, Lane, we out.